So Lepke and Shlomo Amzal left the town, laughing as they left. And wouldn't you know it, every town was just about the same. They moved in for 2 weeks, set up shop, people brought their clothing, and they were raking in the money. It was beautiful, exactly as Shlomo had said. Lepke was happy, Shlomo was happy, the business was booming, and they had such good jokes together with the customers, it was meridik. Well, about halfway through the journey, they come to this town of Petroikis. Petroikis, nice little town. Petroikis, like all the other towns, didn't have a tailor in years, and everybody in the town didn't have buttons, they were wearing pajamas, the same story. But this town, the wealthiest man was a man by the name of Beirish. Who is Beirish? Beirish is a wealthy guy. He owns a lumber place. Beirish Lumber Yard, that's what it was called. Very original name. I wonder how long it took him to think of that name. Such an original name, Beirish Lumber Yard. Ooh, very original. Let me tell you about this Beirish. Beirish is the wealthiest man in the town. And whatever Beirish says goes. First of all, he's dressed immaculately. Nobody can dress like Beirish. Beirish is dressed beautifully. And if Beirish says something, that's it. Beirish says the meat is good, the meat is good. It could taste like rubber. But Beirish, because he knows, he's wealthy. Beirish says, it's morning, it's morning. It's not, whatever Beirish says, Beirish in control. He's almost like the Rav. He's not the Rav, but he's like the Rav. Beirish comes to shul, gets the front seat. Beirish gets shlishi. Not because Beirish is a pushy guy, because Beirish knows. Everybody's machshev him. He's the wealthiest guy. Beirish says, that's it. Beirish knows. He deserves shlishi. He deserves whatever he wants. Well, one fine day, Beirish is at home. He's putting on his nice, beautiful shirt. And a terrible thing happens. He pops his buttons. He can't believe it. He pops his button. He must have gained a lot of weight. Who knows what happened? Terrible. He's looking all over the floor. He finds the buttons, but what is he going to do? He can't sew the buttons on. There's no tailors. Zvetanishgit. How's it going to come out like this? What are people going to say? And he chaps that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And his brain goes off an idea. Unbelievable. He decides he puts the shirt on backwards. On backwards. Hey, you don't need buttons, you put it on backwards. Beirish walks out of the house. People start looking. Hey, what's going on over there? What's with Beirish? Look at that. And they start whispering. He's wearing a shirt backwards. Maybe we should put our shirt backwards. Beirish knows. Beirish wears backwards. Everybody's got to wear backwards. And people come up. Beirish, we see the new style. No, Beirish says. No, no, no. You cannot wear the shirt backwards. Only Beirish. What do you mean, what? I am a doctor. You're a doctor? Well, since when? Since this morning, I became a doctor. How did you become a doctor? What do you mean? By mail, of course. By mail. I took a correspondence course in becoming a doctor. Well, I took brain surgery 101. I took hip surgery 102. I took foot surgery 103. I took every single surgery 104, 105. And now I'm a doctor. It's unbelievable. I'm a doctor. But you're a wealthy man. What do you want to become a doctor? Why'd you decide to become a doctor? What do you mean? My mother always wanted me to become a doctor. Your mother. Your mother's nifty. She's not even alive. That's irrelevant. My mother wanted me to become a doctor. Now I'm a doctor. And all doctors wear their shirts backwards. And therefore, since I am the only doctor in this city, I can wear my shirt backwards. And not you. But if you're a doctor, could you take care of us? No. My equipment is not here yet. I'm waiting. My equipment will be here sometime in the next century. My equipment will arrive. And that I, of course, will be glad to offer my services. Until then, you will have to go to other places. But as for now, I'm already an MD. I'm a doctor. And that's why I'm wearing my shirt backwards. Is that understood? The people are looking, a doctor now? Now forget it. If he was chashuv till now he's who knows what. He's a doctor also. And you'll now refer to me no longer as Beirish. You will refer to me as Dr. Beirish. Dr. Beirish, MD. And that's it from then on. And when they called him up, they didn't call him Harav HaGoyin. They called him Dr. Beirish, MD. That's it, Ben, whoever. Didn't make a difference. The first part is what counted. Dr. Beirish. And this went on for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, who comes to town? Lepke with Shlomo Amzal. Tailors are in town. Tailors are in town. They put up the big sign, the same story, the big sign. And they rent the room and people are excited and people are coming with their stuff. It's Givaldik and everybody's all excited. These tailors are here. And Beirish decides, hey, tailors are in town. Tailors are in town. You know, wearing a shirt backwards, you know, by your neck, it's not such a good thing. Even if you're a doctor, it's still not geschmack. Even doctors, I heard, don't like it that much. Beirish decides, hey, what is he going to do? He's got to get his shirt fixed. Fine. So Shlomo moves in, and they start with Lepke, and they have the nice store, and people are coming in, and all of a sudden, who walks into the store? Beirish. And Shlomo looks up. Ah, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? What can we do for you? He says, my name is Dr. Barish. Oh, Dr. Barish, what kind of a doctor are you? I'm a doctor of everything. You name it, I'm a doctor of it. Really? You treat colds? Everything you treat. Infection, whatever you want, whatever you got, I treat. Really? Really, you know, my friend was having a problem. His throat was hurting. I'm sorry, my equipment is not here yet. Sometime in the next century, but it's closer. Really. I'm telling you, I'm a doctor. What can we do for you, Dr. Barish? And Shalom already, he chaps the gig right away. Shalom chaps, this guy's a doctor like he's a doctor. This guy's a doctor like Shalom is a doctor, like Leipke's a doctor. He's a doctor from minor doctors. Yeah, fine. Shalom decided to get a human again. Okay, what can we do for you, Dr. Barish? He says, listen, nobody's supposed to know because I'm a doctor, but I'm giving in my shirt, my special doctor shirt. I want you to put back the buttons. Oh, you have the buttons? Yes, I saved the buttons. I want you to put it back. Fine, I can pick it up. You'll pick it up in 2 days. Fine, 2 days later, people are coming. Barish walks in and goes, it's not nobody's around, right? No, nobody's around. Nobody's around. All of a sudden, he starts to put on his shirt the straight way, and the people rush in. Barish, what happened? Barish, you're wearing your shirt straight. What happened? You're not a doctor? You're not a doctor? What happened? No, I am a doctor. How could you be a doctor? You're wearing your shirt straight. How could you be a doctor? Shalom Mamzel is laughing, hysterical. Barish doesn't know what to do. He's happy that his shirt is straight, but he's not so happy that he's Mishkan doctor anymore. My license was revoked. No, that doesn't sound good. What, your license? No. I became a bigger doctor. I'm a specialist now. I became a specialist. Specialists cannot wear the shirt backwards, because how could you differentiate between a specialist and a regular doctor? A regular doctor wears his shirt backwards. A specialist wears it straight. I am now a specialist. From now on, I am no longer doctor. I am a Dr. Barish specialist. Specialist? What do you specialize in? I specialize in everything. I'm so special. I am so special. I could specialize in everything. You name it. Really, what could... But again, my equipment is not here yet. And these are special equipment. I have to remake it. I don't know when it'll be here. So please, if you have problems, you should go to the big city, because I don't know if my equipment's coming. It could come any year now. Sometime in the next 10 to 15 years. But remember, the other equipment's already outdated. It's outdated. I'm a specialist. I use special gifts. Before, I was using big knives. Now, I have little micro mini knives. Leibke is laughing. He can't stitch. He cannot stitch. He's in stitches. He's in stitches. He can't stitch. He walks out. Leibke walks out to the street. He can't control himself. He's rolling in the street. People are looking crazy. Taylor, what is he rolling in the street for? Him and Shalom Mam, they're laughing. They said, forget about all the money we're making. With such good chizik from these people. Nebuch, this guy is a doctor from a specialist. He has micro minis equipment. It's mishikats. It's gewaldic. These people have such a sense of humor. And Barish leaves, and Leibke, they push it for the next hour. They can't do any work because they can't, because they're dying of laughter there. And unfortunately, the week comes to an end, and it's time for them to leave this town. They had so much fun in this town with this Barish. Barish became every specialized. It was great. The weekends, and before they leave, they, of course, pay a visit to the wealthiest person in town, to Barish. They come in, they go, Barish, we came to say goodbye to you. You know, you're such a hush of a person. Dr. Barish, PhD, MD, I'm sorry, I'm Childix, a specialist. He says, listen, maybe you could... No, my stuff is not here yet. Oh, we know. Hopefully, we'll still be alive when your stuff gets here. Hopefully, people will still be around. Yes, don't worry, my stuff is coming. He calls them to the side, and he says, listen, I want to tell you a secret. You might not notice. Nobody in this town, I beg you, please don't tell this to anybody. I'm really not a doctor. I'm really not a... No. Shh, don't tell anybody, please. People think I'm a doctor. I'm really not a doctor. I'm not even a specialist. And Leib goes, no. I can't believe it. You look very much like a doctor. You really do. Really, I do. Yeah, you should become a doctor. Maybe you should. Yeah, maybe I'll become a doctor. Yeah, maybe I'll sit and become a doctor. Yeah, how do you become a doctor? I have no idea. But if you figure it out, you let us know. You'll be a specialist. You specialize in how to become a doctor. They say goodbye to Barish, and they leave the town. It's the most geschmackest city they were in. And now the travels continue for 2 long years. And as you can expect, after 2 years, as chayzik as it is, and as fun it is, and you meet such colorful people, but after 2 years, you already want to go home. And Leibke is sitting with Shalom, and Shalom pulls out that map again and says, Leibke, I have good news for you. Two good news. Two things. Yeah, what? Number one, we are coming to the last town. This is it. We finish this town, we go home, and that's it. We don't got to work again. And he's already dreaming about his summer home and his winter home. His mom is dreaming about those homes. And the second beautiful, wonderful thing I want to tell you is, we are loaded. We are loaded. We got 15,000 coins. 15,000 coins. You know how many coins that is? Yeah, 15,000. I knew that. Very good. Very good. You knew that. And now we're coming. This is our last town. And they come to this town, and they think, they're under the impression at least, this town will be like the other towns. They'll meet some bearish there. They'll meet some fun guys. They'll meet guys in pajamas. It'll be a lot of fun, and they'll be able to go. Much to their distress, this town was much different. Usually they came to a town, they put up their signs, people were singing, dancing, tailors are in town, tailors are in town, like in all the other towns. They come to this town, they put up the signs, nothing. People look at the signs, tailors, very nice. No aliyahs, no dancing, no singing, no parties. Yes, people were nice, they give them shalom aleichem, they came to shul, but nothing, no hysteria. They couldn't understand it. All right, look, not every town could be the same. So they set up their shop, they open up, and the next day people start to come. But they sense there's something wrong. Something is wrong in this town. People are not happy. They don't know what it is. They're not happy. It's not because of the tailors. People come in, they're very courteous. Customer comes in. Sir, what can we do for you? Could you please fix my pants? Sure we could. Let's give it to me, please. And the people just sound, they sound depressed. So how are you? Okay. Everything doing good in your business? Okay. They don't understand. Maybe it's just this customer. Next customer comes in. Could you fix my shirt? Yeah, sure. Shalom Aleichem, but what's your name? Could you fix my shirt? All right, I guess you don't have a name. Fine, we'll fix your shirt. Even if you don't have a name, what name should we write on the thing? That's not funny. The people in this town are depressed and they don't even have a sense of humor. And now Shalom and Leipka are getting upset. Third guy comes in. So Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Okay, how did I know he was going to say that? I knew he was going to say that. I know when you want something fixed and you don't have a name, I know. Listen, what's the matter with everybody in this town? All you people know how to say is okay? There's a problem. It's a problem. But things are okay. Are those the only two letters you know, O and K? Tell us what's going on. Maybe we can help you out. How could you help us out? All you are is tailors. All we are is tailors. Excuse me. We're not just tailors. We're the best tailors. We are the best tailors in the country. That's very nice. But how are you going to help us out? Well, if you tell us the problem, maybe we'd have a chance. Finally, one of the customers decides, okay, you want to know the problem. You want to also be depressed. At least there are two happy guys in town. You want to be also be depressed. We'll tell you the problem. Yeah, tell us the problem because we're depressed anyways. Because everybody that comes in here is all depressed. We're depressed. We might as well join in your depression. Do we have to take a pill to be depressed like you? Because we're getting very close to it now. You're not funny. Again, I'm not funny. Okay, we'll tell you what happened. You know, this town, the person that owns this town and all the surrounding areas around here is a duke. You heard of a duke? Yeah, we heard of a duke. Sure, a duke is like a noble, a lord. Yes, this duke is not so noble. Let me tell you what this duke is. This duke is a tyrant. He's a dictator, a tyrant. You know what he does? He treats the people terrible. His taxes are high and his service is bad. You see the roads over here? Yeah, I noticed that in the way. And fech, he doesn't fix anything. And then if you owe taxes, you got to pay, right? You sure you got to pay your taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, you know what the Duke does to you? He throws you in a special place. He has a special place in his castle. It's called a dungeon. There's a special dungeon in the castle. And he throws you down and he feeds you water and some grain, a little bit wheat, and that's it. Yeah. So what's the problem? Avremela, the water carrier, one of the nicest people in the city, is there right now. He couldn't pay his taxes. He couldn't pay his taxes. And you know what happens with this low-life duke? You don't pay your taxes, he throws you in the dungeon. And every day after he throws you in the dungeon, you don't pay his taxes, he adds to the taxes. That means you're getting added taxes every day. You can't even make the money because you're in the dungeon. And then he wants you to what? Eventually he'd like you to, I don't even want to say it. He'd like you to I don't even want to get, he wants you to die so he could take over your fields. And he takes over your house, because as long as you're alive, you still own your house. That's the rule. You'll still own your house. But once you're dead, he gets your house. So that's his plan. So he gives you, can't kill you because you don't pay your taxes, you get killed. That's a little ridiculous. So he starves you. He starves you. It's like a loophole in the law he found. Now Leibke and Shalom, they start feeling depressed. Hey, that's a terrible thing. What about Baba did? A lowlife, a duke, he could do such a thing. He says, you want to be more depressed? The customer says, not only is Avremela there, but his wife is there, and his three children are there, and they're eating the same thing, and they're starving away. And what are we going to do? We can't afford to get them out. So can you help us, Talus? Leibka looks at Sholem. Sholem looks at Leibka. Yeah, we'll help you out. Of course we'll help you out. They take out some of the money, and they say, here. The customer looks at the money and says, it's gevaldik. You gave like the biggest nedava. The biggest nedava. 500 gold coins. Unbelievable. Choshev et Talus. Hatzlocha to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you brachas. This is Meridik. This is going to help so much. I mean, we're again so far away, but still, 500 Meridik. Thank you very much. And Sholem and Leibka said, no, Chas v'Sholem, Pidyon Shvuyim, a gevaldige mitzvah. Please take the money. We'll even before we leave, we'll try to give you some more, please. Hopefully, you'll be able to raise the amount, and Avremel and his family will be able to come out. No, the customer leaves. Leibka and Sholem go back to work, and now they understand why everybody's depressed, and they're taking the breast together with everybody else. You hear a Yid is in prison, a Yid with a family, with children in prison. How could you not be depressed? How could you not, as much money as you're making, even though you know you're going home in a week, how could you not be depressed? And the last week was 7 days, but it lasted like a month to them, because they weren't happy. They weren't happy, the town wasn't happy, and they weren't happy. Finally, it's coming the last day. Baruch Hashem. Leibka and Sholem pack up, getting ready to leave. They call in the Rav of the city. They say, listen, we enjoyed being in this city. We know everybody's depressed because of the Chasheva water carrier and his family. We want to give another Nedava. Here, take another 200 gold coins. The Rav looks, 200 gold coins again. The Rav gives him brachas. No, it's okay. Pinyin Shvuyim. Hopefully we'll go home. Maybe we can make a lakita for you. We'll see if we can raise more money. But this is what we could do now. Here's the 200 gold coins. They give the 200 gold coins. They get up on their wagon and they begin to leave. As they're coming out of the town, they're getting a little bit happier. Good, it was a depressing town, but we are going home. We're going home. 2 years we haven't been home. We haven't seen our family for 2 years. I wonder how our children are. I wonder how our wives are. Sure, we wrote letters, but still, ain't a dime shmeel aria. They can't wait, and they begin to go even quicker and quicker, far away from the city. Nope. About an hour later, going into on the highway toward again Vilna, where they live, is miles and miles and miles away. Still, they're on their way. They hear hoofbeats from behind. Says, I didn't. Leibka says to Sholem, I didn't realize there were other people that used this highway. It's going so fast. You know, there was no speed limits in those days, but still people went at a normal pace. Well, Leibka turns around. He looks far, far back in the distance. He sees, hey, Sholem, look behind. They look behind. Oh, fancy coach. Oh, fancy coach. Look at those white horses. Whoa. Those horses can move. Wow. I never saw such beautiful horses with a fancy coach. I wonder where that guy's going. And they're going a little bit further, and the fancy coach is getting closer. Now they look again behind. They see, hey, the fancy coach has a bunch of people on it. Hey, the fancy coach with a bunch of people look like soldiers. There's soldiers on that coach. I wonder where they're going. There's no war anywhere around here. There's no battles. And this is a nice road. Not too many robbers on this road. Hey, how come they're getting much closer to us? Well, what's going on over here, Sholem? And all of a sudden, they hear from the other coach, stop, stop. Sholem, I think he said stop. I know. Get moving. But he said, I know what he said. I know he said stop. But get moving. Just get moving. And they start to move. He says, Sholem, what's the problem? What do you think the problem is? Those are soldiers. They got bows and arrows in their hand. They got knives. They got swords. That's right. Oh, we better get moving. They start to hit the horse and they start going faster. And now the coach behind them is also going faster. Hey, they're also going faster. This is not fair. And Sholem's going faster and the soldiers are going faster. And naturally the soldiers have six horses, so they're getting closer. Hey, Sholem, this is not fair. They have six horses. We only have two. And finally the soldiers scream, stop! Stop in the name of the Duke! Stop in the name of the Duke! He said, stop in the name of the Duke. Just a minute. Do you mean the Duke? The Duke with the dungeon? That's right! Stop in the name of the Duke! Stop in the name of the Duke! He said, the Duke with the dungeon. Yeah, that's right! Go quicker! Go quicker! And they're going faster and faster and faster. And the soldiers are getting closer and closer and closer. And the soldiers scream out, stop, when are you stopping? Or when are we stopping? When we get to Vilna. We'll stop when we get to Vilna, okay? That should take us another 2 weeks. Okay, listen, Come with us to Vilna and we'll speak to you there, okay? Okay, tell the Duke we're going to Vilna, okay? We'll be back in about 25 years. We'll be back, don't worry. Stop in the name of the Duke. Shalom, shalom. That guy's sword is out. Why is his sword out? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. Get moving. They start going quicker. And finally, the Duke's men are right next to Leipke's carriage. And Leipke looks at the Duke's men, and the Duke's men look at Leipke, and Leipke says, I have a good idea. Shalom, you want to switch seats over here? What do you mean? I'm getting a drift on that seat. Let's move over. Shalom moves over, and now Leipke's on one side, Shalom's on the other side, and Shalom is facing the soldiers. And the soldiers, stop! Hey, wait a minute. You can't switch seats. Those guys got knives. What's the matter with you? Listen, guys, will you put the knives away? We could discuss this. We could discuss this civilly. Stop in the name of the Duke. Stop in the name of the Duke. Those knives are sharp, huh? Listen, I shaved already this morning. I don't need a knife. Hey, why are you pulling that bow and arrow? Hey, stop it. All of a sudden, bing. Hey, that was the back of my neck. What's the matter with you? Stop in the name of the Duke. Stop it. And finally, they have no choice. Shalom Leipke have no choice. They pulled over to the side and they stopped the carriage.